Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are. This is Uganda Ibolo with another episode of A Better Version of Myself. A better version of yourself, if you like it. Here we talk about everything and anything that will help us grow, make us better. Literally just make us become a better version of ourselves. If you're here for the first time, you're in the right place, please don't go anywhere. Trust me, you might find really something interesting. So keep it locked here. And yeah, let us grow together. For those who've been supporting me, listening to my podcast, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I really appreciate everything that you're doing. I'm fine. I've had a rough couple of weeks. You know those moments that you just wonder what is happening? Like, what is really going on? What in the world is happening? Things are not happening. Something is happening, but nothing is happening. You know, those moments that you feel stuck, you're trying to make a move and nothing seems to make sense. Yeah, I've been there. And slowly getting out of it, because one thing that keeps me going is I'm a believer, right? I believe in God, I believe in Christ, I believe in the ability that God has given us. So I don't look at situations like the end of it. I look at situations as part of the process of what is happening in my life. You know, process of something is never easy. It's not beautiful. It's painful as, oof. It's not something, you know, that you want to talk about or you want to scream about. I always take those moments as just a process of what is happening to me, you know, like the end product is just about to be revealed. So yes, I've been having quite a hard time. Not me, just like, let me say my family. And yeah, I've had those moments where you just ask, why God, why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this to happen? You know, and yeah. I've had those moments and I'm happy. I'm alive. I'm healthy. There is peace. So yeah, this is just part of the process. Like I said, I'm almost like snapping out of it. So yes, it's just a matter of time. Today, I want to talk of something very, very interesting that caught my attention. And also, it's something that I've helped a few clients deal with. So I felt like it's really important. Quite a number of things I'm going to remove from an article that I read, but some of these things are also going to be my thoughts. The title of the whole thing is The Narrative Self as a Shopping Cart. Now, throughout our lives, we create stories about ourselves that can strongly influence our thinking and our behavior. I'm sure you can relate with that, right? Well, we do not only construct such stories about ourselves, but also of the reality which we live in. Yourself is what we call a me story. Yeah? So it is a narrative that we all construct to define individuality for ourselves and others. So it is what you believe you are. You know that image you create about yourself? Yes, that one. That one. So when we are unable to see that the story about ourselves is constructed and not necessarily fully true, this story can strongly influence how we think, how we feel and behave. You know, someone who believes their self story of being a loser is true. You remember this? I think I've ever talked about this. The limiting self-beliefs, or even some people say those overconfident self-beliefs. Like, you have to have a balance. You have to be somewhere in there. Yeah. So like I was saying, someone who believes their self-story of being a loser is true may show a great amount of helplessness and take little initiative. Yeah. Because that is your story. I'm a loser. Yeah. Likewise, the narcissistic person who believes their self-story about superior intelligence is true may show little respect for people who they perceive as less intelligent. I know someone is going like, I can relate with that very well, which is true. Yeah, those people who just think they are up there and you are here and you cannot tell them. As if you guys are breathing in different type of oxygens or shitting different kind of shit when you go into the toilet. I mean, it's so disgusting and annoying. So those people who just, you know, like it's a belief. It's a story that they believe they're superior, intelligent, and you are less intelligent. So you cannot tell them something. You cannot sit with them on the same table. You cannot speak your mind, you know? So by using the shopping, I mean, sorry, by using the metaphor of a shopping cart, you will learn there is a difference between a story about the self and the self that observes this story, all right? So the main process that is responsible for the construction of a narrative self is identification, all right? The word identification is derived from the Latin words idem, meaning the same. When we identify with something, we make it the same as me. Yeah. In other words, as soon as we identify with something, it becomes as inseparable. It becomes an inseparable part of us. All right. For example, suppose you identify with your job. In that case, a part of your self-image is based on your job and it is believed to provide crucial information about who you are. Yeah. Identification with a product of the mind, you know, thinking, you know, a product of your thinking, we can identify with a sense of self from many things, ranging from abstract thoughts to concrete possessions, you know, like, for example, let me say, your beliefs, you can identify with your beliefs. You know, for example, I know a lot. I am not somebody to mess with. I'm not good at convincing people. Those are stories. Those are narratives of self. You know, I know a lot. Yeah. I'm not somebody to mess with. You don't mess with me. Yeah. I'm not good at convincing people. You know, those things that you keep on telling yourself. So when, for example, when someone tells you can do sales, well, I'm not good at convincing people. I don't think that is something I can do. That is a belief that you've told yourself. Those are part of the self-limiting beliefs that I always talk about. Another thing is possessions. You identify yourself with possessions. I am rich, you know, I have a big house, I have a big car, I am fashionable because I wear designer clothes, you know. What is this? I own businesses. It's okay, by the way, it's very okay. That is part of your achievement. But then, wait, the catch is coming. You identify yourself with your job, yeah. I'm a writer, I'm a doctor, I'm a social worker, I'm an artist, I'm a director, you know, I'm a choreographer, you know, all those things. You identify yourself with group membership, like in Kenya, you would say what, I'm a Parklands Club guy, you know, I'm a member of Parklands Club. Maybe in the US, you would say, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. You know, I'm trying to remember something back here home. Forgive me, I've tried to remember it. It's totally gone. You identify yourself with appearance. I am beautiful, I'm ugly, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I am a loser. You know, I'm not smart, all these things. Yeah. Or sometimes you can identify with yourself with performance. I'm successful, I'm a loser, you know, I'm a coward, all these things. So with those examples I've just given, those are just a small selection of things which we can identify with or which we are used to identifying ourselves with. The range of things which one can identify differs greatly among people. Consequently, the nature of the self story is very, 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 very personal. For one person, the content is mainly determined by one's status. I am a psychologist. Yes, that is why I'm saying it. I'm a psychologist. Or one's role. I am a victim. You know, they did this to me. We've been going through this and all this is A, B, C, D, F, G, H, you know. For another person, the content of the self story is characterized by identification with possessions or their body, all right? Yet for another person, the self story reflects mainly a social or societal role, the hardworking one, the profiteer, the social person, the go-getter, you know, all these things. So the process of identification can be compared to putting things in a shopping cart, all right? Are you getting now? Are we together? So a shopping cart that we believe kind of represents us. So here we are. Are you with me? Take a shopping cart. Yeah. You're holding like you're pushing the trawler. Shopping cart, trawler, whatever it is. I don't know how you call it in your country, but yes. So you're taking a shopping cart or a stroller or it is that you are. And now, imagine a person who derives their sense of self from their expensive car. Yeah, like I have a Lamborghini, I have a Cayenne, I have, Porsche Cayenne, I think. I have a Land Cruiser Prado, I have Discovery Land Rover, you know, all those things. So imagine a person who derives their sense of self from their expensive car. This person then identifies with their car. They believe that the car provides information about who they are, like a status, yeah? So in terms of shopping cart metaphor, this person puts a car into their shopping cart. So if you're that person, we are shopping. Now put that car in your shopping cart, all right? Everything that is put in the shopping cart then represents the content of the self-image we create. While the person in this example puts an expensive car in their shopping cart, another person may put their academic achievements or their appearance in the cart. All right. So you put your car, put on those fashionable designer wear, put then your academics, put in your job, yeah, put on your titles, you know, put them in your shopping cart. So you know them now, you have an idea, yeah? Now put them in that shopping cart. Now, mistaking the content of the shopping cart for our true self has serious consequences, very serious consequences. Imagine the person who identifies with the expensive car meets another person with a less expensive car. Yeah, you can already tell how that is turning out, yeah? For example, perhaps this encounter will cause the person to experience feelings of superiority. Yeah. After all, the content of their shopping cart is better than the content of the other person's cart. Yeah. I have a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. You have a what? A Toyota? Ah, you get. So that encounter, because my shopping cart has a Discovery or a Range Rover, whichever, or a Jeep, and yours has a Toyota. And for example, now back here in home, we have these cars, Toyota, these Vitz, there is a Scudo, there is, you know, these cars, the small cars that really don't give you oh, life, those they don't give you that title. Yeah, so someone who has that big car might feel some sort of superiority. Just because they feel they have a better, you know, their cart has a better content than yours. So for this person, this downward comparison confirms that they are better and more successful or even more worthy compared to the other person whose shopping cart has a small car. All right. Now, it's just like, okay, imagine this, a person encounters another shopping cart, this time with a more expensive car than their own. Now, you remember that guy who has the other one had a Toyota, this one had a what, maybe a Jeep, yeah? So this time they meet a more expensive car than their own because the car entails a critical aspect of their self-image. That is what they identify themselves with. And that is, as they identify themselves with that, that becomes their, you know, their self-worth. So this encounter may result in all kinds of negative thoughts and feelings. Yeah. So like when you meet there's someone who loved saying that we human beings can really frustrate each other. You go with someone and that you meet after a long while, you know, like it's been maybe months and maybe years, and they are talking to you, swinging keys around their hands, and then they're asking you, oh, where did you park? Literally, they can't see or they can't tell this guy hasn't driven. They didn't come driving, but they will just ask, oh, where is your car? Where did you park? Oh, I have a Land Cruiser, or I have a Jeep, or I have a Range, or I have whatever it is. And you're like, that's good for you. I have nothing. So when this person who's swinging the keys just because they have a Jeep, find someone who has a Ferrari or find us a Lambo or whichever car. I'm not very good with that area of cars. And I'm using cars because people tend to identify themselves with the kind of cars they drive or the cars they have. So, yes, so that is why I'm using cars, though I'm not very good in that area. So I wouldn't tell which is better than the other. But I have an idea. Okay. So the confrontation with the more expensive cars of the other person is experienced as a direct threat to one's self. Indirectly, it means that the other person is better, more successful, or worthy than he is, you see, because they've pegged their identity, their self-worth, with the kind of car they have, or the kind of car they drive, or the kind of title that they hold. So consequently, feelings of jealousy or a reduction in self-esteem may occur. In turn, this may trigger all kinds of behavioral responses to deal with this threat, like devolving other characteristics of the other person to boost one's self-image, or starting to work harder to beat, in quotes, the other person and buy an even more expensive car. Perhaps the biggest threat that emerges from mistaking ourselves from the content of our shopping cart involves the possibility that we may also lose the content of our shopping cart. Yeah, for the person in the earlier mentioned example, like, you know, the mere thought of not being able to afford the expensive car anymore creates an intense feeling of fear, because it would mean that an important aspect of themselves is being removed. Yeah, it's like it's being taken away. Likewise, for a person who identifies with their job title, getting fired would mean losing a part of the self, and thus a reduction in self-worth. Perhaps the greatest fear emerges if we consider death. Death means completely emptying our shopping cart. Everything that we believe we are all will disappear. Yeah, that thought is not good. Some people don't like talking about death, but it's inevitable. So one possible consequence of realizing you could lose the contents of your shopping cart can be an attempt to empty the content of your shopping cart. The person who identifies with the expensive car may strive to detach from this car and remove the car from their cart. Paradoxically, although emptying the cart may look like a solution, it is, in fact, the very same process as putting things in the cart. Yeah, putting in, removing in, the same process. So the person who becomes focused on emptying their cart can easily become identified with the emptiness in their cart. Yeah, look at me. I don't need my expensive car anymore. I'm using my bike to go to my work. My neighbor is not this far yet. He's still showing off the expensive car. This is getting interesting. So this process is very familiar to people who seek spiritual enlightenment. That is why I laughed. The image of me, the enlightened one. Yeah, I know. I've been there. I've done that. Yeah, becomes very attractive and becomes the main content of the shopping cart. Without knowing it, a new self is created that operates in the same way as the former self that one seeks to avoid. People put all kinds of things in their shopping cart, both positive things and negative things. For example, positive things would say their salary, title, appearance, and achievements, which is a positive thing. The negative things are lack of education, failures, illnesses, and ugly body parts. Strange as it may sound, when the content of the shopping cart is highly negative, that is a victim mentality, one may try to protect this image in the same way a positive image is trying to be maintained. All right. For instance, a person whose sleeping problems have become an important part of their identity. Those who go like, I'm a disordered sleeping patient. I have a disorder. Yeah. So it becomes part of your identity. So this person may react rather defensively when other people claim to have even more severe sleeping problems. This person may try to convince the other person that his problems are more severe simply because the other person's problem threatened their victim identity. So they want to be the victim. They want people to pity them. They want to be in that space, you know, of being a victim, that where everybody is giving them all the attention that they need. So what can we do to avoid the consequences of identifying with their shopping carts? All right. The idea is not to try to empty the shopping cart. After all, why should one not enjoy driving an expensive car? You've worked hard for it. You've bought it. It is yours. Yeah. But to become aware of the process of identification, the process of mistaking the content of the cart as part of yourself, as part of who you are. Like yourself, you know the me story, like this is me, you identify with it. So by becoming aware of this, we can realize that we are not the content of our shopping cart, but instead we are the person who is pushing the cart. Like not cart, but yeah, the trolley. Yeah, we are the person who is pushing the trolley. Now you get it? Ah, someone goes like, yes. You're the person who's pushing the trolley. So in other words, we are not the stories we tell others and ourselves about us, but the awareness that we can observe these stories. Yeah. So when we connect to this observing self, other people become less threatening. Our true identity is no longer mistaken for the content of our cart, because we see through this created story about ourselves. Life becomes lighter because we experience that we are more than the content of our cart, more than material possessions, status, appearance, and success. We become able to connect to a deeper sense of self that is beyond stories. Yeah. So I'm going to give you a few questions to reflect on. All right. So one, what are some possible things you may have put in your shopping cart? I'm sure we all have this shopping cart. So what are some of the possible things that you may have put in your shopping cart? The second question to think about is, what are some possible things other people in your life have put in your shopping cart? Let me repeat. What are some possible things other people in your life have put in your shopping cart? In your shopping cart, all right? Another question to reflect on. When you compare yourself to others, what is the thing, you know, the attribute or personal characteristic that you are mostly comparing yourself to? We're almost getting there. Another question to reflect upon is that, could it be something that is part of your shopping cart? You know, when you compare yourself to others, what is the thing, you know, the attribute or personal characteristics that you are mostly comparing yourself to? Yeah, could it be something that is part of your shopping cart? Okay. Another question, what are you most afraid of losing in your life? Yeah. And please write these things down and go through them. They will help you a lot. So what are you most afraid of losing in your life? Is it possible that your fear is connected to something in your shopping cart? You know, your job, your car, your house. We are human beings, so yeah, this is part of something that is not normal that would happen. Okay. Are you ever jealous of other people? For example, their possessions, their personal characteristics of achievements? If so, what are you jealous of? Yeah, you are jealous. Yeah, it's as painful as it. You don't want to accept it. Yeah, if that is so, you are jealous. If you answered another question, if you answered the last questions affirmatively, is it possible that your jealousy is connected to something in your shopping cart? Yeah. And then, what is your biggest takeaway from completing, you know, answering those questions? What is your biggest takeaway from answering those questions? Yeah. So today's session is long, but yeah, it is very important, because some of us tend to identify ourselves with these things and we forget who you are. You know, I always ask my clients, tell me who you are. Remove the titles, remove everything in your shopping cart. Who are you? You know, you is kind, you is loving, you is understanding, you is patient. Yeah, these are some of, you know, being kind, being patient, it's not something that everybody else has. That is what makes you special. That is what makes you unique. Yeah, you is understanding, kind, loving, caring, you know, all these things. That is you, because now you are the person who is pushing the cart. You know, kindness is not something that you pick and put in your shopping cart. Yeah, love is not something you pick and put in your shopping cart. That is something that is in you. Yeah, you don't go looking for it. It is in you. It is who you are. Right? A car, you will work hard to get look for it. But all these other things are things that are within you that you just need to give them time to grow. You need to realize that you have them and just allow yourself to, you know, give it out to other people. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening and for the support. And I hope that this today's session would help you in one way or another. All right. And yeah, let's grow together. Let's become better people together. For any questions, reach me out. My email is always there. And yeah, until next time, have yourself a lovely, 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 lovely week. Take care of yourself. Please stay safe. When you feel overwhelmed, you want someone to talk to, I'm always here. As a therapist, as a life coach, I'm always here. As a mediator, I'm always here, available. So reach me out, okay? Don't go through this thing alone. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you. And yeah, have yourselves a lovely week. Bye-bye. Good night, good morning, good afternoon.